Chapter 131. The Washington morning was clear and crisp. A breeze sent eddies of leaves skittering around the base of the Washington Monument. The world's largest obelisk usually awoke to its own peaceful image in the reflecting pool, but today the morning brought with it a chaos of jostling reporters, all crowding around the monument's base in anticipation. Senator Sedgwick Sexton felt larger than Washington itself as he stepped from his limousine and strode like a lion toward the press area awaiting him at the base of the monument. He had invited the nation's 10 largest media networks here and promised them the scandal of the decade. "Nothing brings out the vultures like the smell of death," Sexton thought. In his hand, Sexton clutched the stack of white linen envelopes, each elegantly wax-embossed with his monogrammed seal. If information was power, then Sexton was carrying a nuclear warhead. He felt intoxicated as he approached the podium, pleased to see his improvised stage included two fame frames, large freestanding partitions that flanked his podium like navy blue curtains, an old Ronald Reagan trick to ensure he stood out against any backdrop. Sexton entered stage right, striding out from behind the partition like an actor out of the wings. The reporters quickly took their seats in the several rows of folding chairs facing his podium. To the east, the sun was just breaking over the Capitol dome, shooting rays of pink and gold down on Sexton like rays from heaven. A perfect day to become the most powerful man in the world. "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen," Sexton said, laying the envelopes on the lectern before him. "I will make this as short and painless as possible. The information I'm about to share with you is, frankly, quite disturbing. These envelopes contain proof of a deceit at the highest levels of government. I am ashamed to say that the president called me half an hour ago and begged me, yes, begged me, not to go public with this evidence." He shook his head with dismay. "And yet, I am a man who believes in the truth, no matter how painful." Sexton paused, holding up the envelopes, tempting the seated crowd. The reporter's eyes followed the envelopes back and forth, a pack of dogs salivating over some unknown delicacy. The president had called Sexton a half hour ago and explained everything. Herney had talked to Rachel, who was safely aboard a plane somewhere. Incredibly, it seemed the White House and NASA were innocent bystanders in this fiasco, a plot masterminded by William Pickering. "Not that it matters," Sexton thought. "Zach Herney is still going down hard." Sexton wished he could be a fly on the wall of the White House right now to see the president's face when he realized Sexton was going public. Sexton had agreed to meet Herney at the White House right now to discuss how best to tell the nation the truth about the meteorite. Herney was probably standing in front of a television at this very moment in dumbfounded shock, realizing that there was nothing the White House could do to stop the hand of fate. "My friends," Sexton said, letting his eyes connect with the crowd, "I have weighed this heavily. I have considered honoring the president's desire to keep this data secret, but I must do what is in my heart." Sexton sighed, hanging his head like a man trapped by history. "The truth is the truth. I will not presume to color your interpretation of these facts in any way. I will simply give you the data at face value." In the distance, Sexton heard the beating of huge helicopter rotors. For a moment, he wondered if maybe the president were flying over from the White House in a panic, hoping to halt the press conference. "That would be the icing on the cake," Sexton thought mirthfully. "How guilty would Herney appear then?" "I do not take pleasure in doing this," Sexton continued, sensing his timing was perfect. "But I feel it is my duty to let the American people know they have been lied to."